Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Juneteenth commemorates the day emancipation reached enslaved people in the deepest parts of the South, when a Union general went into Galveston, Texas, and announced they're now free. That was June 19, 1865, over 2 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. It became an official state holiday in Texas in 1980, and that was around the same time the McDuffie Rebellion was happening here in Miami. That uprising exploded after the death of Arthur McDuffie, a black man, at the hands of police. Violence and rage began after the Miami-Dade County police officers were then found not guilty. To commemorate Juneteenth, tomorrow, the Miami Film Festival is making the documentary available online that tells the McDuffie story. It's called When Liberty Burns. By the way, we want to hear from you. How are you commemorating Juneteenth? Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can always email us, sundial@WLRNnews.org. Femi Falmalami Brown helped produce When Liberty Burns, and she was in Miami when the McDuffie Rebellion happened, and she joins us now. Ms. Brown, thank you so much for the time.
You're quite welcome.
You're in Miami when the rebellion broke out in 1980. You actually saw firsthand. Tell me a little bit about what was life like, first of all, you know, before the rebellion.
Well, we were having a normal community. I was here visiting my mother with two daughters. We were actually living in Lagos, Nigeria. And I made a trip over to search for a house to buy. When the announcement that the officers had been found not guilty was broadcast on the radio. There was just, I think, shock. My first thought was to get to my mother to sort of, to share that shock with her, because I happened to have been alone at the house. But as soon as I got in my car and entered the streets, I saw that there were people there already, and they were very, very excited in not a good way. And it was just a simultaneous burst of energy, negative energy and amazement that the officers could have been found not guilty.
And where were you? What were you doing at the time? As all this is happening, were you out there in the middle of it, or were you trying to hide from it?
Well, no, I was. I lived in North Dade. My mother lived in the Brownsville area, approximately two blocks from the Norton Tire Company, which became one of the landmark buildings that was destroyed during the rebellion. And because my daughters happened to have been at my mother's house, my first thought was to just go there so that I could, I wanted to talk to my mom about how could they, because I had not been living in the country for almost 7 years before this occurred. And certainly I thought, as everyone did, that justice would be served. So, just remarkably, as I was leaving the area where I lived to go to my mother's house, by the time I reached Northwest 62nd Street and 12th Avenue, a crowd of people had already began the rebellion, or riots, as they called it. I don't like to call it that, because they called it the McDuffie riots, and Mr. McDuffie had nothing to do with that. It was brought on because the officers were found not guilty.
Yeah. And what's the one memory that jumps out at you most about, again, once the rebellion was underway, and again, the number of people that were hurt and killed and arrested in that time, and you had fires and police, you had the National Guard come in. What's the one memory that jumps out at you, though?
Well, for me, I happened to have volunteered with an organization called the Center for Family and Child Enrichment. And as with this current protest, I was struck by the number of young people in the streets, and we were asked to go out after curfew to encourage them to go home so they wouldn't be arrested. So my interest was in making sure that, one, they did not completely destroy the community that we lived in, and that they not be arrested and have records that would haunt them for the rest of their lives. Certainly I understood the anger, but I did think that we could direct it in a more positive way. And with the organization that I was working with, we tried to do so.
When and where did the idea for this film come up?
Dudley Alexis is the young filmmaker that did a great job in producing, directing, and editing the film. And he came up with the idea after one of his friends was shot and killed by a police officer. I met Dudley after the premiere of his first movie, which was Liberty in the Soup, about the Haitian Revolution and how soup jumeau became the national dish of Haiti. I happened to have been at the Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, the African Heritage Center, again on 62nd Street and 22nd Avenue, not very far from where my mother lived. And I was really amazed at the quality of his first documentary. And because I had worked with kids, I thought that the documentary should be shown in Miami-Dade County Public Schools. Having been a friend of Dr. Dorothy Mendenhall, I wanted to bring the film to her attention. So that was my first contact with Dudley Alexis. Because I had also been a documentary filmmaker quite a long time ago, I thought that I would offer to help him do some research. And that's how I got involved.
And, you know, we spoke with Dudley back in March, and he said you were essential in getting the family to open up to do the documentary. How did you do that?
Well, I am in the age group of the family, particularly the elder sister, Forstine Reed, and I'm an excellent cook, so I bribed my way in with seafood gumbo, in both cases, with the daughter and with Miss Forestine. And it didn't take very much after that. We both love our brothers. I have one brother who means the world to me. He's a former correctional officer. He's been in the military, much like Mr. McDuffie had. And in doing the research and reviewing some of the archival footage, I remember when Judge Nesbitt said that the name McDuffie had come to be synonymous with rioting and with police brutality against black people, etc. And I thought, you know, they really sullied the McDuffie name, you know? So it became a mission for me to help, you know, change that if at all possible, because he was loved. And that's what we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear who the man really was and what he meant to not just his family, but to his friends, his classmates, what he might have been had he lived. And I think the film successfully did that.
There's something, the other thing that's interesting too about this is how different generations think about it. But so in the film, we hear from a number of people. One of them is Lonnie Lawrence. This is a childhood friend of McDuffie's, and he's a retired police officer.
Let's take a lot of young people that have no idea what McDuffie was. No idea. As a matter of fact, I don't think it. I know it.
So he says that, you know, younger people don't know who McDuffie was. And this goes back to what you said. You wanted to also change the narrative of how people look back at McDuffie. But, you know, and again, going back to Dudley, the director, he had said it too. He grew up in Miami. He didn't know who McDuffie was until he was working on this film.
Exactly.
Why do you think there's a lack of knowledge and education about a history, especially that history, in our community?
Well, there were other incidences after Mr. McDuffie, and I think that there was a concerted effort to change the image of Miami. I know people that came here from with the government to specifically investigate, and in doing so, you know, Miami is a tourist city, and one cannot attract tourists to a place where there has been that kind of damage. So, you know, there was a very concerted effort to quash that memory and to change the face and the perception of what Miami was. And quite a large budget was used to do so. And you know, they did a good job of it.
That's an interesting it's an interesting perspective I had not thought of. Again, just to mention, I'm talking with film producer Femi Falami Brown. She worked on the documentary When Liberty Burns about Miami's history of racism and police brutality. That, by the way, the Miami Film Festival is screening the documentary online tomorrow in commemoration of Juneteenth. And we mentioned Juneteenth earlier. We'd love to hear from you how you're commemorating Juneteenth. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Ms. Brown, you're the grandmother of a young black male. What are the conversations you have with him about McDuffie? And then, of course, also now everything that's going on with George Floyd.
Well, also, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, I was, the last time I saw my grandson was last weekend. But prior to that, I had not seen him in, you know, 3 months at the premiere of the film. And it is a hard conversation to have. I remember just a year ago, I was babysitting or child sitting with him while his mother was on a business trip. And I posted on Facebook that I dropped him off at the bus stop in Plantation, Florida. And I realized he was the only child at the bus stop in that neighborhood, which is a upper middle class neighborhood. And I could not pull away. There was an innate fear of leaving him unprotected. So with that said, you can imagine how I must be feeling now, having to encounter the same fear, only intensified. I realized that while we tried to shield him from, you know, what is a harsh reality, we can no longer do that. So we are having that conversation, and we are letting him know that he is loved, he is valued, he matters, and that we will do all we can to protect him. And we will do that with love, you know, and we will have the conversations, the tough conversations, not necessarily with him, but with others who are not people of color, so that perhaps we can influence, you know, the way the world looks at black boys and black men.
Do you talk to him about Juneteenth? And I wonder, for you, like, growing up, what did that mean? What did Juneteenth mean? What does it mean
absolutely
for you now?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was a regional holiday in Texas that just became a state holiday in 1980, 79 or 80. And here in Miami, I did not learn about Juneteenth until perhaps a decade ago. Much like the slaves didn't find out they were free until 2.5 years later. This again points to how our history was muddled, and the narrative was, you know, we were not given privy to the actual history of Black people, not until archives and digital information became available, and we started doing our own research, and now we can correct the narrative. I personally would not celebrate Juneteenth as a happy holiday, because it just underscores the idea that, you know, Black people were kept enslaved for an additional 2.5 years. But I do understand that, you know, we want to have a holiday like Kwanzaa, like Juneteenth, that we can celebrate our people and our culture. So while I'm rather old school, and as a researcher, you know, I have a particular perspective, I do understand that it is catching on and that other states have declared it a holiday. And I'm not sure of the status of Florida, but as a kid, and I checked with a neighbor who is younger, but had lived in Texas and grew up in Miami. And she told me that outside of, you know, Texas, you know, she had not celebrated it either.
Right.
So, yeah, it's catching on.
Yeah, there's a lot more we could talk about this, but I just want to remind folks, too, that, again, you know, for Juneteenth tomorrow, that, again, the documentary When Liberty Burns is going to be available online. We'll have more information on our social media, WLRN Sundial. I can tell you, having seen it, powerful. Make you rethink history in Miami. Ms. Brown, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
You are more than welcome.
Femi Falami Brown, again, worked on the documentary When Liberty Burns about Miami's history of racism and police brutality. And again, just go to our social media at WLRN Sundial. Well, that's our program for this Thursday, June 18th. Coming up next week on the show, we're going to continue to follow the protests this weekend against police violence happening in South Florida. We'll also keep an eye on Juneteenth activities happening tomorrow. And again, find us on social media and share with us the events that you should be following, that we should be following, I should say, and how, again, you're commemorating Juneteenth. Also, teachers across South Florida had to end the 2020 school year without saying farewell to their students. And that was really hard for some teachers, those who are retiring. We're going to hear from a panel of teachers about their decision to retire now and the climate of education. By the way, if you're a teacher retiring, we'd love to hear from you. Find us online. Just email us, actually. It's the easiest way, sundial@wlrnnews.org. If you're a retiring teacher, we'd love to hear from you. And by the way, guess what? We're bringing back the Sundial Book Club. It's coming back for July. Next week, we'll give you more details about the first book for Season 3 of the Book Club. And always find us on Facebook, Sundial Book Club. Ask to join. We'd love to have you. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. We'll talk to you again live on Monday.